I'm Becca Lewis, and I'm your guide and host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. Imagine trading the life of a successful doctor for the life of a writer and publisher. That is exactly what my guest today did. Scott Sarzenas tells a powerful story of why he chose to shift his life. This is a story you will not forget. As a result, Scott chose his purpose and not the easy path. The outcome? He helps pave the way for the rest of us. There is literally no time to waste. I know you will be inspired to re-examine exactly what you want to do with your life. Come listen as we shift the story together. I'm speaking with Dr. Zed, which is the easy way for me to introduce you. But Scott, I wonder if you would say your last name so I don't butcher it, and then we'll go on from there.
Yeah, sure. It's Sarzenas, and that's why I got the name Dr. Zed, because people can't pronounce my last name. So it was easier just to say Zed, or I think you say Z in America, don't you? But that's why I'm Dr. Zed.
Oh, so that was the next question. How'd you get to be Dr. Zed? But now I know. So I'm sure if I spent some time, I'd say it, but I don't want to say it wrong for other people to hear. So, Scott, you and I don't actually know how we met. I can't even remember, but it's ages ago when you started doing publishing, and we talked about publishing my books together. And so it's been a long time, but you live in Australia, in case people can't tell from how you're speaking, and so we never really get to talk, and I thought that people would love to hear your story about how you started writing, how you started publishing, how did that work, why did you start, and you can start anywhere in that story that you want to start.
Yeah, sure. Well, where do I begin? Well, I guess you begin at the beginning. I had always wanted to be a writer, I think ever since high school. I was always the kid with, you know, three books under his arms to read, and always loved reading, especially, you know, teenage boy stuff, Stephen King, Wilbur Smith, John Irving. I used to love all those. And then a bit later on, Paulo Coelho. I got almost railroaded into going to university, and then suddenly ended up, you know, having passed a medical degree. Before I even, you know, stopped to think about what I actually wanted to do. But all that time, all through high school, all through medical school, I wanted to, I always told people, I'm going to write a book. And I think I had said that for 15 years. And I think by the end of it, my friends just wanted to strangle me because I kept on saying it and I never did anything about it. And I always had excuses. You know, they kept on saying, well, why don't you write a book? And I said, well, you know, I've got to study. Then I became an intern, and I, you know, I would do 100 hours a week. I just don't have time to write. And then, I want to travel. So I spent years traveling around Europe and America and Asia, always saying, I'm going to write a book. And it just never happened. And I think 15 years of procrastination, it just kept on going and going. And then and then I was studying to be a pediatrician. I was doing a lot of exams, doing pediatrics. And so that was always a good excuse as to why I wasn't going to write a book. And this is in the mid-90s. And then my favorite excuse was I don't have a computer. And back then in the mid-90s, you know, your laptops and home PCs, they weren't your everyday item that they are today. And they were really expensive too back then as well. My excuse for about 4 years was that, I don't have a computer. So obviously I can't write. So yeah, I was the king of procrastination. And, you know, no one ever said to me, well, why don't you just use a pen and a paper? But that didn't cross my mind. It was because I didn't have a computer or a book. So, yeah, and then, you know, towards the end of my studies of pediatrics. So I was just really, really unhappy. I was angry. I wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for my patients. I just couldn't stand getting up in the morning. In fact, I remember wishing that I was sick a lot of the time, so I just didn't have to go to work. And then one day I was just walking along the corridor. I mean, I was late. I was always late for work, you know, habitual procrastinator. And it just suddenly struck me as I was running to a ward round that, you know what, the job isn't going to change. The job, and I've been wishing for the job to change, and I realized that nothing's going to change, only I can change. And that really struck me. I literally stopped in my tracks and with that realization, and I realized, you know what, the job is the job. It ain't going to change. If anything's going to change in your life, it has to be you or me. And so I still didn't do anything about that. I just got to that realization that I had to change. But about a month or two later, and it was a cold, wet winter night in London. I was living in London for about 10 years at this time, and I had a big, big argument with my senior registrar, and it was over something minor. I can't even remember what it was, but it was so minor it was ridiculous. But I just stormed out of the hospital. I just walked, and I just stormed home. And we lived right on the River Thames back then. We lived in a lovely apartment, but it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was pitch black already, and it was cold, and it was wet. And I just stormed up to my bedroom and turned off all the lights, and I just had enough. I was just full of anger, and I just laid on the bed. I just wanted to go to sleep. And as I was lying there, a voice inside my head said, "You know what, Scott? You could have been hit by a bus right then, and this is how you would have died. You know, full of anger, full of loathing, full of hatred, full of frustration." And I realized, wow, you know, that's actually true. I mean, that's how I would have left this world. You know, full of anger. And then the other voice said, "Well, when are you going to die?" And I thought, "Oh, geez, you know, all right." And this was when I was about 30 or approaching 30. And I thought, "Well, geez, you know, maybe 85. I mean, that's a good age, you know. Hopefully, I get to make it." And then suddenly, I had a vision, and the vision was I was on my deathbed, surrounded by my family. I wasn't married at that time, but I could see my wife and future kids and grandchildren standing around me. There was candles. It was a dark room. And then the voice inside me said, "Well, now you've got 5 breaths. You've got 5 breaths left." And I thought, "Geez, well, all right." And it says, and then the voice said, "Well, how are you feeling?" And then this overwhelming sense of self-loathing just really, literally took the breath out of me. I hated me, I hated the world, I hated everyone, I was just so full of hatred. It was breathtaking. It took my breath away. And I just said to that old man in the vision who was lying, dying in the bed, I said, "What went wrong? What went wrong between now and then?" And that old man, and I can see it now every time I tell this story, he just turns to me and he said, "Because you did not even give writing a try." And again, there was another breathtaking moment. I literally gasped, and I realized at that moment that it wasn't that I was destined for success or anything like that. It was because I hadn't even tried to do what I was born to do. I hadn't even tried to live my life purpose, which I always knew was to be a writer. And that was going to be my destiny if I didn't give it a try. And well, you know, a couple of weeks passed again, and I was still coming to terms with that vision. And I had another argument again over something minor, and again I stormed out. And I was at home again, and it was a wintry, wet day, and I'm the only one home again. And there's a knock on the door. And I opened the door, and there standing in front of me was a friend who used to play the drums in a friend who I lived with, his band. And he's just standing there in tears. And I said, "Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong?" He says, "Oh, I've just broken up with my girlfriend. They've been together for 10 years. I mean, they were basically married." I said, "I've got nowhere to stay." I said, "Don't worry, we've got a spare bed. You come on in. And, you know, you take spare bedroom and you stay as long as you want." And he goes, "Fantastic. I'll just get my stuff out of the car." I said, "Not a problem." And what do you think was the first thing he brought back into the house?
A computer?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a computer. He stood there in the front door and he said, "Where do I put this?" And I stared at it, and I knew from that moment that the universe had positioned me, pushed me so far into a corner that I had nowhere to turn. And I don't know if you know the little alcoves that you get under stairs that go up to the first level or whatever, there's little alcoves sometimes that they put there. Mm-hmm. We put the computer in there. The space was empty, as it happened to be. And that night I started unpacking my first book. And within a year I'd written my first book and I'd resigned from my job. And wow. I remember the date was the 2nd of the 2nd, 2000. And I remember walking out, and I'd actually done a night shift. So I walked out at 8 o'clock in the morning out of the hospital. And it was a clear, bright blue winter's day. For the first time, I had this overwhelming sensation that I'd reclaimed my life. My life was mine again. And I haven't looked back since then. So that was kind of my moment, my shift, as it were. And it hasn't been easy, don't get me wrong. It's been a difficult 15, 16 years, but it's been worth it. It's been hard, but it's been good. And I've learned. I keep learning in my, what I do with my business, being an entrepreneur and a publisher and a writer as well. So that's where I'm at the moment.
Oh my gosh, that is a serious shift story. I can't believe it. It's so moving.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can change your destiny. You can. I mean, that's proof of it. I mean, I saw where I was heading, and I got to change it. Now when I think in the future, I'm not there. I still have frustrations, but that's to do with me just trying to, get more writing done and, not enough hours in the day. There's not the frustration of me not doing what I should be doing. I'm exactly where I should be. And that's
right.
Where the lesson of this story for me is, we're born for a reason. We're born for a purpose. And we need to find it, because if we don't, we can find ourselves in very dark places. And until we find that place, once we find that place, you get that sensation that this is where you're meant to be. And I, every time I wake up now, I'm where I'm meant to be. I don't often understand it. I don't seek to understand it. I just seek to know that this is where I'm meant to be.
Yeah, that it's an interesting thing. It doesn't take away the work, but it in fact, it probably makes more work, but you know you're doing what you want to be doing, and that makes such a big difference. It's choosing success, happiness, instead of the world views success.
Well, absolutely, and I think that's an important point. You have to define your own success. The world is more than too happy to define it for you, and therefore you have to compare yourself to that definition every day. But if you actually say, "Well, wait a sec, no, just hold on. I actually want to define my own success." And for me, after 15 years of procrastination, of telling everyone I'm going to write a book, and then actually doing it, that for me is success. And then every day it's important to define find your new successes. You know, set your goals and also celebrate them. Because yeah. your goals can be quite big. I mean, I set some pretty big goals, and then I set them to test the universe, really. But then there's still a long way off. But along the way, you can forget the little successes that you're making along the way. So for me, it's about celebrating the little triumphs that you have along the way to your big triumph, because in that way, success becomes a habit. And it doesn't matter how small that success is, you keep celebrating it, then the next, then the next, then the next, and as I said, success becomes a habit.
Yeah. And that habit is much better habit than the work habit and then have regrets. I don't know if everybody gets to have that kind of vision that you had, but that is how it ends one way or another. Someone's going to ask, did you do what you were supposed to do?
Absolutely. But the work is fine as long as you've got that vision, and it's a different definition of the vision. As long as you've got that sense of purpose, then the work doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you know, in fact, it becomes enjoyable, and when it becomes enjoyable, it's no longer work. If you can look at it that way. I think it's a lot harder. I found it easy to get into medicine. I found it easy to pass medicine. I found it easy to get into pediatrics because I didn't have to work hard for it. It just came naturally to me and I could do it. What was difficult is that I didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
But it could have been law. It could have been engineering. It could have been teaching. It could have been anything. It wasn't the medicine per se. It was the fact that I wasn't doing my writing. I wasn't where I should be. So that for me is the lesson, is finding out exactly where you want to be. And I see that with a lot of people, and no matter what age, from teenagers to you know, retired people, they often say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I often, we probably might be running out of time a bit, and maybe we could revisit another thing, but there's a great book called The Purpose-Driven Life, I've forgotten the name of the author. I can look it up, but he uses the analogy of the shape. What's your shape in determining finding your purpose?
Right.
That's a really good sort of activity that I use with a lot of my writers that come and sit here with me, and we determine, well, what's your vision with writing? You know, what do you actually want to achieve? You know, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, they just want to write a book so they can market their business. So they don't really need to sell a lot of books. They just want to sell their business. But with other writers, fiction writers, for instance, they want to, you know, learn the craft of writing, and they want to become successful writers in themselves. So there are different visions for different people. But I sit people down and I help them discover what that vision is first and foremost, before they do anything else, because from that vision, everything else flows. Everything else comes from that vision. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, you just kind of led right into the next question, which is, how do people find you? Like, I'm going to put it in the show notes so people will have links to find you. But where is your favorite place to send people to find you?
I guess there's three main places. I've got my website, my publishing website, which is drzed.com. That's drzed, so it's one word, .com. You can also find me on Facebook. I've got on writing Facebook group, which everyone is welcome to join. I would love your people to come and join me. It's called On Writing, and it's Scott.Zarsinus On Writing. And also, if you're in business and you want to join me on LinkedIn as well, please join me on LinkedIn as well. And that's Scott Zarsinus. Or you just look for Dr. Z, and that'll lead to me as well.
Well, I'll put those links so people will be able to just click right on it and join your group, because I know I'm part of that group. And your story is just amazing. And one key point that I really extra loved too was that just because what was easy for you to do didn't mean it was what you were supposed to do. And I think that's also another, because I know people sometimes when I'm coaching them say, well, this part is easy for me, so I guess I'm supposed to. And That's not necessarily true. So that was such a good point. I loved it.
Yeah, that's a nice point. Yeah, that really
intrigued
me. Because actually, I found this the most hardest thing to do, being a writer and a publisher and a businessman. I found this infinitely harder than being a doctor. Yeah.
But it's more joy-filled, and that's what counts.
Yeah, absolutely. Without, I mean, I probably had one joy-filled day a year when I was a doctor.
Oh, sad. All right. I have one last question for you that I ask everybody. All right. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. What is the one piece of advice that you would give anyone else in the midst of changing a life story?
One piece of advice is to find your purpose, is to find the reason you're here, for sure. Because from that, everything else flows. When you know for certain you're where you're meant to be, life, you get filled with joy. You have peace. You have freedom. You have all the things that everyone looks for. So, and you might not have the money, because believe me, I have probably sacrificed millions of dollars by not working as a doctor anymore over the last 15 years. But I've got infinitely more joy and peace and freedom.
Yeah, and that you can't take that money with you. So, yes, but you can take that peace and freedom with you. So, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. It was just, I'm so glad that we got a chance to talk.
Well, thanks, Becca. Thank you very much. Thanks for asking, and it was a joy.
Thank you. Are you inspired? Ready to move more deeply into your purpose? Purpose is personal to each of us, and no one's purpose is better or more important than another. What is important is that each of us chooses to walk the path intended for us. If you are looking for help to find that purpose or walk a clearer path, you can check out my coaching available on BeccaLewis.com, or just write and we'll see if I'm right for you. If not, I will find someone who is. Be sure to visit Scott's page on theshift.com/podcast to find all his books and the books he publishes, and to make use of all the help he offers. If you are feeling the call to share this podcast and rate it on iTunes or comment on it, all my guests will be profoundly grateful. A shout out to Faye Christie for her comments on the March podcast and Karen Kaplan's podcast. We love, 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 love hearing from each of you as we continue to shift the story together.